Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better.
Guys, we got a special treat. This is going to be just a short little episode, but while we were up at ice camp, and just as we were packing everything up, took some time with Chad and Steph to get a little forecast and get a little heads up on the two NAIFC tournaments that they're going to go fish out west. And by the time you guys hear this, they've finished one and they're driving to the second one. So we're just going to listen to Chad and then to Steph and see what they're planning for their little trip. You know, we remember they used to be partners before Chad and Anthony got going out together. And then now it's come back around with Anthony and having responsibilities of being a new dad, where he's staying home a little more. And Steph's saying, let's go fishing.
Hey, we're in my ice, guys, and we're back. Chad's with me again, and we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming two tournaments that he and Steph are heading out on the mission to the west. The first stop is Lake Metegoshi.
Yep, North Dakota, Metegoshi.
Yeah, what kind of bite you get there? What are you after?
Well, we're after, well, they dropped it down to 10, but it's bluegill this year. 10 bluegill, your best one. It's known for some pound fish coming out of it, so we'll see what happens.
Cool. Now, I know that you guys have been talking while we've been up here at ice camp that you got some new scales. How does a scale work in ice?
When you're playing with 10 fish, you know, I lost the championship by 0.04 pound. Well, 0.03 to tie. We need 0.04 to win. Well, that's like 18 grams, so a scale really matters when you weigh. You can't just look at your fish. You know, sometimes one's fatter than the other, and it comes down sometimes to really close weight.
So you're every fish you catch, you're seeing if you can upgrade.
Yeah, we're going to weigh, and, you know, you want your best 10. You don't want your best 8. Have 20 grams sitting in your bucket in the hotel room.
Now, they also have the rules about how you have to keep your fish when you're out there, right? That I know that a lot of us just throw them on the ice, and they...
Yeah, we keep them in a bucket with water.
And they don't, so they don't freeze up and get a big ice chunk on them.
You gotta change your water out if it's, you know, depending on the weather, but... You know, you just try not to have frozen. You're not allowed frozen fish. You can't really keep bluegills alive when it's, you know, 0 or, you know, 10 degrees out. They're going to freeze up.
But the idea of not building them up with ice and snow and stuff is the general idea. And that way they're still soft that you can pull them out, weigh them, and compare on the fish so that you get your best 10 when it comes to the end of it. Now, how long is that tournament?
It's from 8 to 1, so it's a 5-hour tournament. So, I mean, now, two is fish that like- an hour.
Is that like the championships where, you know,
championship
your placement?
Is 6 hours.
So. Yeah, but I mean, your placement and ranking is how you start?
No, well, this one's going to be a random draw takeoff.
So they just draw a team number out of the hat, and that's the order that you guys take off out onto the ice.
That's how you're going to launch. This lake doesn't matter where you start. It's not a structure fish. It's more a basin fish.
So, cool. Now, what are you going to be using for gear on these that would be different than what you used in Michigan?
Not really anything different than what you use here in Michigan. I mean, it's going to be your standard, your fish finder. Or your favorite jig and pole, and, you know, a couple jigs. I usually run like a 4mm, you know, glow red, orange, you know, red, white, and blue, something like that. You know?
Okay.
It's a wiggler lake, so I like something with orange or reddish in it.
When you're out there, you're obviously taking the big tracked quad out there and stuff. Are you taking the imager on this one?
Yeah, we'll have the 360 imaging with us, see how that works. You know, it's going to be a little cold, so it's a little finicky in the cold, but we'll see how she does.
Yeah, have to get your mom to knit you a blankie for it or something?
We got a little wood box that we made for it. We got some Zippo. We got two little Zippo lighters in there. You know, the little hand warmer lighters, so we'll see.
Keep that electronics up and warm so it keeps going. I noticed that even with my LX7 the past couple of days as I've been getting used to it, takes a minute to warm up on that. And that is probably a good recommendation for people with some of their sensitive electronics. Don't just leave them bashing around frozen all the time in the back of the truck. Take them in the house.
Let them thaw. You might get once in a while when you get a lot of ice on your deucer line, that'll give you some, like, acts like you got clutter and interference, and sometimes you just got to break that ice off there.
So just taking them into at least in the heated garage or breezeway or something, letting them dry out and start. I don't like... like to dry out my buckets and things like that so they don't freeze together when we get out, things like that. Now, after Metegoshi, you guys are going to travel on further.
Yeah, we'll go a little farther west.
Out to Hebgen?
Hebgen Lake, West Yellowstone.
Montana, man. That's quite the drive, but Steph will be along for that one.
Yeah, he'll help me drive from Metagoshi there, so that'll help.
Sing camp songs and all that kind of silly stuff.
No, I'm going to sleep the whole way.
Sleep the whole way, that Steph drive. Yeah, that seems to be a narrative when we go places. Steph gets to drive quite a bit when they get to the distance part. Now, when you get out there into Montana, now what's that tournament?
We'll be chasing six rainbow trout, so that makes a lot of fun. They fight hard.
Yeah, we stopped over to Hilltop today, and Steph got a couple of new long rounds. Long rounds aren't all that popular here in Michigan, but you were explaining a little bit in the car why you want to go to the long round.
Well, that's why I use them, because of the head shake and the vine shakes of trout and the speed of them. It just bites them better. I mean, most of the guys aren't using anything like that. Long rods are meant for shallow water where you can just lift the fish out. You're trying to stay away from your hole so you don't spook anything. No shadows and no noise by the hole. That's why the long rods are normally around. But for these, the trout, it's just like catching a steelhead. You know, you use a little bit longer rod, softer tip to absorb some of the head shaking and monster runs that they take.
Yeah, just, you know, more spring action. That's really pretty cool. Now, what do you guys use for lures?
Well, we're going to, you know, run like a 5 or 6 millimeter, any of your 5 or 6 millimeter tungstens, whatever your well, it doesn't even have to be tungsten, just a little bit bigger bait. There's a little bit of current, so you got to keep that bait down there. And then, you know, we're tipping it with plastic tails, just like your crappie fish.
What kind of depth are you guys working in?
Oh, we'll be around, you know, 12 will be an important depth usually for it.
And to get to your 6 magic rainbows that are going to win you that tournament, you and Steph, how many fish do you figure you'll catch?
Well, the year me and Anthony won it, we caught 6 legal fish, and then the next year we probably caught 15 and got a top 10 is all. So, I mean, you got to get yourself in the right spot and not beat your spot up before tournament day. But, you know, we should catch, you know, a dozen to 15 on tournament day.
Now, this lake is also, I believe, the one that's very notorious for everybody getting stuck on it.
Yeah, it can be a nasty lake. We got stuck twice last year. We heard our results.
Now, did you break out the winch bar?
No, the winch was broke at that time.
Oh, man.
The winch cable broke pulling out a vehicle.
Man. I saw Steph's is a little bit frayed. That would be another good piece of advice for you guys on have quad. Go check that cable. Make sure it's going to be reliable when you do need it. Now, one of the interesting things that I've seen and I plan on getting on my next quad, Steph made up or had his guys make up some winch bars that you can anchor into the ice. You guys normally travel with that now?
We do usually take it to Montana. We didn't last year, but it wouldn't matter because the one cable is broken.
Yeah. Now, the gist of this bar is it's what, piece of square stock?
Yes.
3 inches?
Yeah, 3x3 square tube, and you drill a hole, put it in there.
And it's got a little T-bar so it doesn't go all the way through, and a hookup point on it so you can snap your cable onto it.
Hopefully winch yourself out. I've used it before, and it does work.
Yeah, and then if you got a winch further, you extend it out, drill another hole.
My quad doesn't winch very easy, but it does work.
Yeah, well, for those of you that haven't looked at the pictures of Chad's quad, we're going to have some new ones. I took some over the weekend here. That Chad's got an 850 Outlander with tracks, so it doesn't roll quite like those of us that have wheeled quad, but it sure does shit and get when it needs to most of the time.
Yeah, it takes some serious stuff to get stuck in. We were busting through ice layers and getting the ice wedged underneath us is why we were bottoming out with ice, so nothing you can really do about that.
No, thankfully here in Michigan, we don't run into that too much.
Yeah, yeah. Michigan, you never have to worry about. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Your favorite Hamlin up there. I've seen
it. Oh, Hamlin
messy.
Can be nasty, but not like Hebgen.
Not that bad. All right.
No, Hebgen's, I mean, lake effect is about like mountain snow, so it is similar, but it doesn't layer up as bad normally.
Well, good luck to you guys as you travel out and safe travels. I know that I'm taking Steph to the train station to meet up with you in Dakota, and then picking him up at the airport as soon as I find out which airport he's coming back to.
Yeah.
And then your wife's going to fly out and drive back with you?
Yep, she's going to fly out to Bozeman on Friday. So, and me and Steph will go pick her up, and she's going to spend the weekend with us and then ride back with me.
Awesome, awesome. Well, good luck, guys, and we will be right back with the MI Ice Guys podcast on hard water fishing.
Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MI Ice Guys have partnered with Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. The thinnest glass technology for sunglasses. 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland, to the worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice Guys sent you, and you need the best.
Hey guys, we're the MI Ice Guys, and live from Ice Camp 2017/2018 because we did it right over New Year. And we're talking with Steph right now. Steph and I have just been winding down the weekend. I'm about to pull out because we both got to go to
the rock pile.
Oh, at least I get to. You only got to go for 2 days. But one of the things that I wanted to talk about, what you're going with Chad out to compete to probably the two most distant tournaments.
Yeah, North Dakota, headed up to Bottineau, North Dakota, Lake Metegoshi.
Yeah.
And they got some pretty big bluegills up there.
Everybody tells me they're as big as dinner.
I'll take pictures. And
oh, yeah. I mean, put a bottle of beer or something there for a scale for us. We're going to need to show the guys that one. That's pretty impressive. Now, that's probably the farthest west you've gone for an ice tournament, isn't it?
We've been to South Dakota, Richmond, Aberdeen.
Okay.
But that's be the furthest north.
Furthest north. All right. And we were looking at the weather, and today it's, oh my God, freezing, but it's supposed to warm up.
Yeah, it should be about 20 degrees by tournament day,
which is
drops right back down, which is a mild heat wave for up there.
Yeah, Sunday the 7th. So
it was, what, negative 36 there the other day. It was brutal.
So I guess you guys, when you see that movie Fargo, and you really start to understand why maybe they're a touch off, but you're going to be fishing for big gills, so
yeah,
what are you taking? Gill. What are you taking for equipment? What's your secret?
I got 4 mil jig.
4 mil, maybe even a little bigger?
Yeah, I got some bigger stuff. I got fives and six, but I'm gonna probably use those for the trout.
Okay,
but I'm thinking if they got to be a little more finessed, I can drop down to, got a lot of stuff to drop down to.
Yeah, we've got a lot of small jigs, and the last few days we've been exploring a few of those, but
mainly meat up there.
Yeah, all live bait. So
yeah, I'll try plastics just to play with them.
You get what, probably a day of pre-fish?
Yep, Saturday.
Yeah, you're going to ride the train up, which is kind of a new experience, too.
Yeah, I'm my first train in the States anyway.
Yeah, well, we had such a good time riding the train in Finland. When you said I needed to drop you off the train station, I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
This is going to be an exciting trip for you.
And the train takes you right to Devil's Lake. So it gets on there at 6:04 a.m. Saturday morning.
That's awesome.
So if you know anybody in Devil's Lake or a place to stay up there, you can pack a small gear and go up there and ice fish.
Hey, that actually, we need to make some friends.
Monster perch. Yeah. And the rates aren't bad either for Amtrak, so that's a pretty good price.
There. Yeah. So we've got that one coming up. And then you get to do the long haul drive from North Dakota to Montana.
It's about half the distance from what we're at. So
yeah. So
I mean, it's half the way there is when you get to North Dakota. You're almost halfway to Montana. So
it's a long drive.
It's still going to be another 16, 20-hour drive.
Yeah. Easy. So you and Chad are going to drive that back across west and get in a few days of fishing over
Yellowstone.
I think Chad said you guys were going to do a little extra fishing in North Dakota before you left.
Yeah, well, a few days before we leave to Montana. So we're going to hit some more lakes up in North Dakota while we're in the area.
Cool. Now, when you get out there to Hebigan, out there in Montana, you guys are taking the long rods with you. Picked up a couple of new ones today when we stopped at a sports shop. So Chad tells us that's a little more for the spring action of it. But you guys are putting on a thing called a Snyder ring?
Yeah, the Snyder
bobber.
The Snyder rods have come with the Snyder spring bobber on them. And you kind of bend that off to the side, and you can watch that when you're jigging. And you're also watching your electronics from a distance. You got to kind of flip it around on your bucket, so as you're not going to be able to tight line, or obviously with that long rod, you're standing away from the hole and your flasher and
you're
sitting there.
So you're spring bobbering, but you're also using a long rod. But I saw these rods today, and they're very limber.
It's a noodle rod.
Yeah, it's an ice noodle.
Ultralight, yeah.
What were those? Were those 5-footers or 4-foot?
About 5-foot.
Yeah. So you've got a lot of spring action to be able to fight the fish. Now, Chad mentioned when they shake their heads, and I think all of us have caught trout of one shape or size or species or another, and know that they're infamous for shaking out the hook.
Oh, yeah. Doing spins and shake. At least here they can't jump.
Well, yeah, they can't jump out of the water. Unless
they can jump out of the hole. That'd be a good thing.
They jump out of the hole. Now, that's another question.
As long as they don't fall back down.
These rainbows that you guys are catching, how big are they?
Up to probably 3 pounds.
Up to 3 pounds. So yeah. The 5-inch augers are still
plenty. We got a 7. Help them get them started. Yeah. It's getting their head started up the hole first.
Taking the Tanaka.
Yeah, we got the Tanaka and the hand dog. The wall.
All right.
And the Milwaukee for backup.
Man, you guys are going armed for bear out there.
Better be prepared.
Yeah. Now, there's going to be a lot of snow out there on the lake. Chad was mentioning the mountain snow. And I noticed that the last couple of days you weren't wearing your Cthulhas. How is it getting onto the lake? Have you heard? You got to go down a slope?
I haven't heard yet. I know it's a reservoir.
Okay.
So not no steep hill like we have overseas.
Yeah, Ukraine and reservoir just gives me nightmares of that hill. But, I think this is going to be one hell of an adventure for you. And when you come back, I'm going to look forward to seeing some pictures of this and maybe even post them up on Facebook before you go. But then we'll do a recap podcast.
Yeah, with Chad and I. And
yeah, we'll be back in the studio at the brewery. Yeah. And we'll get a kind of a rundown of how these two tournaments went. Maybe we'll slip that in before Chad has to head back off to the next tournament. But for those of you that are here in Michigan like Chad, you know, stuck here fishing just our good old crappie and bluegill.
Remember, if you like, you can get some trout on around here.
Well, yeah, but remember that on the end of the month, well, let's run it down. The 13th of January, I will be out at Six Lakes at Sadler's Great Outdoors doing a nice seminar out there. And I know K&E's going to run their buy three, get one free on tungsten jig. Jamie Sadler, we stopped and talked to him today and picked up a couple of things from him. And, you know, he's going to run some other specials and some deals. And he usually does a drawing and some other things. Sometimes they got some food there and things. But come on out, and if you're really ambitious, check in with Sadler's out there in Six Lakes. Because we're probably going to organize going off to First Lake or something earlier in the day and getting some fishing in as a group. Then coming back over and getting the seminar, talking a little bit more about mid-season fish, things like that. Then after that, on the, I think it's 26th, 27th, and 28th of January. It's that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the end of the month. We're going to be at the Hunt and Time Expo at the Deltaplex in the north side of Grand Rapids. Steph and I will be there. Anthony and Chad will be off to a tournament, but we'll be there to talk some ice fishing, tell some stories. We're probably even going to give a little presentation on the worlds, have a slideshow on that, and hopefully be rocking our new suits, and you'll be able to see our new Norfin suits. We'll bring in the new Norfin boots and let you check those out as well. They're great new technology and boots. We're happy to be using them in our everyday fishing as well as when we go overseas because they're super helping the pack.
Yeah, you got only 50 pounds per bag.
Yeah.
So pack for.
In the meantime, guys, if you have any questions, we would love for you to use one of the two greatest features on our website, and that's the Ask an MI Ice Guy. Over the weekend, we got a couple of emails where people popped in and asked some questions. They asked a lot of the questions about electronics and software that we use and things, but also just some technique questions are really great to hear from people. Mm-hmm. And you pop that in there on the website and it will go to all four of us and we'll shoot you back an answer, usually fairly quick. And the other greatest, our ice map, and it's filling in with people contributing just like you, telling us how much ice is on the lake near you. Now, a lot of people say, oh, all the ice is fine and safe and everything. We don't need to post them anymore. No, we do. Because can I take my quad?
Yeah.
I want to know on some of these bigger lakes, is the ice thick enough to take the quad? And I also have some skittish friends, most of them female, that don't like to go until the ice is, you know, 7-8 inches thick. They get a little nervous about it. They're not like Steph and I, where we'll go out on 3 inches.
Even we were at Croton yesterday, and they had posted 4 inches on the big side. Well, there might be 4 inches by shore, but you got out there a little ways. I got down to 2.5, and it was like, venture out there too far.
No, so jump on to miiceguys.com. Post us a thickness of the ice near you, where you've been, where you've checked it, especially if it's thin, because we want to warn people and tell them that might not be the best choice to drive that. Keep us up to date on how you're fishing. Feel free to post on our Facebook. This has been Ice Camp 2018, and we're happy to be with you. We'll be back soon. Later. MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys. Enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.